Book of Isaiah, chapter number 52. I want to read two or three verses out of Isaiah 52, one verse out of Isaiah 53. If you're there this morning, say amen. All right, some of you are. Isaiah chapter 52, verse number 10, the Bible says, "The Lord hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God." Then he goes in verse 13, he says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astoned at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man." Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was crucified. "So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see. And that which they had not heard shall they consider." Chapter 53. "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" You can be seated this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you, God, again, Lord, for what you're doing in this place, God. We pray, Lord, you'd take the reins of this service, God. I pray, Lord, your will would be done. God, I'm nothing, Lord, this morning, but you're everything, God. I pray today, God, you'd bless, God, Lord, the preaching of the Word of God. I pray you'd touch hearts and lives, that you'd call lost sinners to repentance. You'd save them, God, that needs you this morning. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. The book of Isaiah was written some 700 or so years before the birth of Christ. It's one of the most profound books in your Bible. Some have said it's even a little condensed or a little version of the whole Bible. It covers so many subjects. There's so many prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Isaiah. It's amazing that God, some 700 years before Christ, would come into this world, that He'd give so much information to mankind that He could put His faith in those days in a Messiah that was to come. And we're so blessed today in the day that we live, not only to have the book of Isaiah, but to have a whole Bible, a whole completed canon of the Word of God to show us the needs in our life for salvation and a Savior in our lives. Those that go to hell today will be trampling over the Word of God and the call of God, choosing death over life. Heaven is real today, and God offers heaven to anyone that wants it today. But you reject the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of Christ, you trample His blood, and hell will be your home. God is so merciful today that He's compelling men, women, boys, and girls that a whosoever will could come and receive the water of life freely. And so today we look at this passage of Scripture right here in verse number 53, or chapter 53 and verse 1. He says, "Who hath believed our report?" Did you know today that unbelief is one of the devil's most powerful weapons that he uses on mankind today? Upon children today? Unbelief. Unbelief. We live in a day of culture, a cancel culture and secularism, in a society that wants to take God out of this world, out of our lives. But I'm glad this morning we still got a Bible-believing church today. Hey, and the people that's willing and wanting to listen to the Word of God and to worship God. But listen to me. It's no surprise that the secularists in our society today, they took Bible reading out of school. They took prayer out of school. They've taken the Ten Commandments off of the courthouse walls. But it's time for we, the people of God, to take a stand today and say we're going to lift our Lord high. We're going to lift Him holy. We're going to follow the Word of God. And, we're going to stay in the will of God. If the world chooses to go to hell, Hey, then that's their choice. God gives man a choice today. But listen, it's time for us to take a stand, parents, and to tell them to quit forcing this junk on our children today. This change in history. They'd love to do away with the Word of God. They'd love to. They'd love to do away with religion altogether and have a bunch of mind-numb robots marching to the call of Washington. A bunch of heathens up there. But it's time that we, the people of God, stand up for what's right. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Listen now, this morning, I want you to notice something about what is said right here in this Bible. I want you to notice the author of our report. You'll notice right here, it doesn't say, who hath believed Isaiah's report? Isaiah was just a man like me or you or anybody else. But he said, who hath believed our report? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost is the author of this Bible right here. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost to pin it down. In other words, God gave Isaiah every word that's written in the book of Isaiah. It's not any thoughts that come from Isaiah. This Bible right here is not man's thoughts. This Bible right here is God's thoughts given to man. Who hath believed our report? In 2 Timothy 3 and 16, the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's an inspired book. It's not a book that's concocted by man's ideas, as some books are. But this is a holy book. This is a powerful book. It's alive. It pierces to the dividing asunder of man's heart and spirit. And he speaks to lost sinners. He speaks to saved people. And I thank God this morning that I've got a Bible today. Amen. You ought to thank God, hey, for the author of our report. It's a holy, holy book. Hey, there's 66 books in the Bible. 1,189 chapters, some 31,102 verses. It's all inspired. It's infallible. It's inerrant. Hey, it's alive. It speaks to us. It's the most important book that you'll ever put in your hands. Do you hear me this morning? There used to be a day and a time in schoolhouses when this book right here is more important than reading and writing and arithmetic. Amen. It's important to get this book right here into the hearts and minds of children today and let them know what God says, what God expects out of them, and how God loves them. So important. And so I challenge you, parents, do your part. Do your part. And we at the house of God, we're going to try our best to do our part. I just said the tool of unbelief. That's the greatest tool the devil has today. Unbelief. Unbelief. It's not sins that'll send you to hell. It's unbelief in what God has done to cancel out and wash away our sins. So listen this morning. This is a holy book. But let me tell you, God gave us this book. And God gave us some Holy Ghost broadcasting of this book right here. Thank God for the Holy Ghost this morning. When He saves a man, woman, boy, or girl, He comes to live within. But I thank God for Holy Ghost broadcasting the power of preaching today. The power of the gospel when it goes out through the Holy Ghost preaching to convict and convince and to call lost sinners to a place of repentance. Thank God for preachers that'll still roar back, Brother Jeff, and throw down and preach the Word of God just like God has written it down in this book. There's so many so-called preachers today that's watering down the Bible. Hey, they taking things out. They're trying to tickle folks' ears just to draw big crowds, to draw big offerings. But let me tell you something. There's never been a greater time in the world today than we need Holy Ghost preaching. When I was lost, Holy Ghost preaching used to scare me to death, Brother David. I'd get as far back in the church house as I could get. And I'd get out as quick as the last amen was said. And I'd leave a trembling. Because Holy Ghost preaching does the job. And I'm thankful today that God gives us a holy Bible and He gives us Holy Ghost broadcasting of His Word. I'm thankful that He calls men to preach this Bible. And Holy Ghost power, Holy Ghost unction, it's proved itself to get the job done. Amen. God's good, ain't He? In Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, He said, "Go ye into all the earth. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." That's the message today. That's the message. He that believeth. God gives everybody the opportunity to believe. And through the preaching, the Holy Ghost preaching of the Word of God, God will give people a chance to be saved. Now I want you to notice this right here in Romans chapter 10 that you're familiar with right here. I want you to notice this. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him of whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" I'm glad God calls preachers. "How shall they preach except they be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Here it is right here. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Hey, the greatest day of your life was when some preacher stood up before you with the Holy Ghost dripping off of him and preached Jesus to you. Preached out this holy Bible right here under Holy Ghost power and let you know, hey, where you stood with God and what God wanted to do in your life. What a Savior we have. Listen, not only in this thought of the Holy Bible He gave us and the Holy Ghost broadcasting, but notice this, the Holy Blood that He gave. The Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And it's not by the blood of bulls and goats and animal sacrifices that could take away sin. But it took holy blood. It took sinless blood. And God was the only one that could provide that blood to you and I to take away the sins that we have committed. And He provided Himself a sacrifice to save lost sinners. Peter tells us this precious blood. Precious. Precious blood. Without that blood of Christ today, we'd all be destined to a devil's hell. There's nothing in that's good enough about us. Nothing of works that we could do to enter into to heaven. But it was His precious blood that He shed on Calvary's cross. And Isaiah writes about it in chapter 53 right there. The sufferings of Christ. The sacrifice of Christ. The summons that He says, "Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come unto Me." But who hath believed our report? Who will believe our report? Who will believe this Word of God that's gone out throughout the whole world? From the beginning right there, I had 12 disciples to preach the Word of God. All but one of them was martyred, died, martyred, killed, for their preaching of the Word of God. Today there's some over 2 billion professing Christians in the world today. All began with one man, the Lord Jesus, going to the cross. And 12 selected men that went out and gave their life. Hey, if they hadn't believed, the Lord Jesus Christ, where would we be today? They went out of preaching. In the face of all odds and opposition,
They gave their lives for the furtherance of the gospel. Not only the author right here, he gives his Holy Bible, Holy Ghost broadcasting, his holy blood, but there's a holy bidding today. There's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. There's some rejoicing in heaven this morning of what's taking place here in this place today. Because somebody believed and somebody called upon Jesus. I'm glad that we've got a whosoever God. I'm glad this morning we've got a whosoever salvation. Whosoever will. Whosoever will can come and take of the water of life freely. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And He'll do the same for anybody today. Whosoever will can come and take of the water of life freely today. Who will believe, though? Who will believe our report? Not my report. His report. God's report. I want to briefly just touch on something this morning right here. The author of our report. The accuracy of our report. You know, there's a lot of books that say a lot of things. This is the most amazing book that I've ever read and studied from. Looking back through hundreds of years, all the way back through the Old Testament, from Genesis chapter 3, all the way up to the day of Christ, there was over 300 prophecies, 300 foretellings by God of things that had not yet happened that He said was going to happen about the Lord Jesus Christ. 300 prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ. And every single one of them came to pass just like God had His men to write it down in the Old Testament. That's an amazing thing. Man couldn't do that. It took God to give these things to mankind, the foretelling. He's the one, the Bible says in Isaiah 46, He's the one that knows the end from the beginning. And He's the one that tells it just like it is, just like it's going to happen. And let me tell you something, Jesus, hey, He's coming back just like He said too. He said, if I go away, hey, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go out, I'll come back and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. That's the hope of the Christian today. That's the promise of the Christian today. That's the assurance of the Christian today. That this old world ain't all they are to it. And I thank God for that today. The accuracy of His report today is 100% accurate. No ifs, ands, buts, no mistakes anywhere in the Word of God. You know, one of the great prophecies you'll find about the Lord Jesus Christ and His cross was found in Psalms, was found in the book of Psalms, chapter number 22, the Psalm of the Cross. Read it sometime. You'll see the heart of God, how it was broken for the cross. Another great sign. In Psalms 22, he talks about crucifixion, and yet crucifixion didn't even exist at that time. Rome didn't exist at that time. And yet Roman soldiers would take the Lord Jesus Christ, hang Him on a cross, and crucify Him. Great prophecy there. One of the greatest prophecies you'll find in the day and hour in which we live is the prophecy about Israel. Israel. Do you know back in the book of Deuteronomy that God told His chosen people there, if they were disobedient, if they turned their back on Him, that they would perish from off the great land that He gave them? And He told them, I'll scatter you throughout the earth. I'll take that land away from you. Some 750 to 500 B.C., Israel did exactly what they wasn't supposed to do. They turned their back on God. and Israel have been broken into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel, southern kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom fell somewhere around 750 B.C., and the southern kingdom fell around 500 B.C. They were scattered. There was no more Israel. No more Israel. But God had made a covenant promise to His people that in the latter days He'd bring them back together again. Israel, you couldn't, hey, for around 2,500 years, there was no Israel to be found on the map. And yet in May the 14th, 1948, Israel was birthed into a nation again. Israel is back to stay, just like God said, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going into Israel one of these days to sit upon the throne of David over there in the temple. It's all going to come to pass just like He said. But who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Back up in verse number 10 or 52, He says, the Lord made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nation, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Speaking about power. He's speaking about the ability to perform exactly what He said He's going to do. He's shown His salvation to all the ends of the earth. His holy arm is reaching out to all that will come. His arm, it's a powerful arm. He has revealed His arm. You know, the Bible tells us that He put the stars in place by just a flick of His finger. He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand. But when it come to the cross, when it come to the need of salvation of mankind, the Bible says He revealed His holy arm. You ever seen anybody boasting about the muscle in their arm? There's a little old thing on when you text somebody sometimes, you know, you throw that muscle arm up there. That's what God done. He provided salvation in a powerful and mighty way. And He's the only one that's able. He's the only one that was able. This arm of the Lord, it's a holy arm. It's His arm. But it's a helping arm. A helping arm. God wants to help you this morning. God wants you to believe in Him and trust Him. Believe in this Word of God. He's the only one that can defeat death, hell, and the grave. He's the only one that can deliver from the power of Satan, from the prison of sin and the penalty of sin. God wants to help you. But you know what it takes? It doesn't take money. It doesn't take works. There's one key ingredient. There's one key ingredient this morning to keep you out of hell. Belief. Belief. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him at His Word. Call upon Him. And I'm about to close this morning. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Can I tell you this morning, the amazement of this report right here is it's given in one word up here in verse 10. The Lord made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth, all. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Man has a choice. Life's full of a lot of choices, but this is one choice you don't want to make a mistake on. When God speaks, when God calls, you better hear that call, and you better answer it. I want you to see this right here. We know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in chapter 55, verse 1, He says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And a little further on, He says this. Verse 3, incline your ear and come unto Me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Verse 6, he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Call upon him while he's near. You know, the Lord's been speaking to a lot of folks lately, young people. And a lot of young folks have responded to that call. Free call to mercy. And this morning, I wonder, do you believe this Bible right here? Do you believe this Bible? I believe if people believe that the Lord Jesus could come at any time, I believe they'd respond. I believe they'd get their hearts and right, heart and life right. I believe they'd be praying for lost loved ones. But do we really believe what God said in this Bible right here? Sister Sherry, I want you to come this morning to the piano. Who hath believed our report? God's given you a chance this morning to believe. God's given you a chance this morning at life. Now I wonder this morning, we stand around the house. I wonder if you'd like to come this morning. Do you believe his report? I wonder if you'd like to come this morning.